Open them to chapter 11, and we're going to do part two of last week's study entitled Lessons from My Father, Living to Delight God. Let's pray. Holy Father, we thank you that you love us and that your glory came in the flesh and he lived the perfect life. Died the perfect death, paid for all the penalties of our sin, which is death. And you have given us eternal life by faith through your Son, Jesus. And Lord, I pray that this morning that you would transform our souls as we look at your word. We ask that you would help us to take it in and allow it to change us so that we may glorify you, that we may delight your heart. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Well, cool. I am so glad you're here. And as I said, last week we started a chapter 11 last week, and we'll finish it up this week. And if I can find my place. There it is. Chapter 11. And last week, we covered two things, living in the balance, and we talked about God, about, it says, just scales, if I can find it. Dishonest scales are abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is delight. And we talked about living in dishonesty to God is not knowing your true condition before God. The reality and the truth of the matter is that we're all sinful people before God. God is holy and we're not. And God says, if you confess your sins before me, I am faithful and true to forgive you. That's how you get justice from God, is by confessing. And so it begins, a just weight is his delight. And we talked about last week that all sin has to be paid for. The wages of sin is death. Every sin that's committed, it will be paid for. But for the Christian, who paid for our sins? Who took the wrath of God? It was Jesus himself on the cross. And so it begins with honesty. And then living in the balance, it ends with a warning. We talked about if righteousness begins by being honest with God, and then the folly is the one who refuses to acknowledge their sin before God. And God gives a warning. And we looked at verse 7. It says, when a wicked man dies, his expectation will perish, and the hope of the unjust perishes. And so God in his love and mercy is warning the person, you got to be honest with me and admit to your sinner. And then we also covered last week, living in the neighborhood. As we said before, faith begins, is lived out the way you live out your life before people. You know, you could say, oh, I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you can hate your neighbor. Well, that doesn't make any sense. You could say, I'm a believer, and you still live a certain way, and God wants to change us. And I recognize that not all of us are perfect. But it's not the perfection of our faith. It's the direction of our faith that shows that we're authentic. And so we learned about an arsonist in the neighborhood. And the arsonist is the person with a tongue that gossips, a person that slanders others. You know, James in the New Testament says the tongue is like a fire. And we can say things that hurt people and say things that causes damage. And we need to watch our tongue. And we also looked at an arborist in the neighborhood. And we talked about an arborist. An arborist is a person who takes care of trees. And so it's important. We talked about the importance of receiving wise counsel. When we receive wise counsel, you'll make wise decisions, right? You know, Justin's going to probably get a new skateboard pretty soon. You know, he may look at some magazines and read the specs and check him out, and then he'll probably, hey, can I try it out? You know, see how it feels, and he'll get himself a pretty new, cool skateboard. But receiving counsel is wise. And now, this week's study, the part two, is we're going to talk about living with integrity, and that's, we're going to talk about a gracious woman and a merciful man, and then we'll finish up living with generosity, sowing generosity. So let's read verse 16 together. And the beauty about Proverbs, it gives a bunch of word pictures. It's meant to engage our minds to think, to engage our hearts, because God has kind of given us a little riddle there, and we're trying to like, okay, let's try to figure this thing out. See, that's one, the beautiful thing about God is he's given us a beautiful mind to think and to use, and he likes to engage our minds and our hearts. And so let's read verse 16 together in chapter 11. A gracious woman retains honor, but ruthless men retain riches. Ah, there's a thought there. A merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. The wicked man does deceptive work, but he who sows righteousness will have a sure reward. As righteousness leads to life, so he who pursues evil pursues it to his own death. Those who are of a perverse heart are an abomination to the Lord, but the blameless and their ways are his delight. Though they join forces, the wicked will not go unpunished, but the posterity of the righteous will be delivered. As a gold ring in a swine's snout, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. The desire of the righteous is only good, but the expectation of the wicked is wrath. Well, first of all, we're going to talk about the gracious woman. And integrity and honor should be gold to the Christian. Your character, that is your gold. I mean, you could be a wealthy person and you can have a reputation that stinks to high heaven. Can you think of somebody who's is an example of that? Oh, well, I could think of lots of people. You know, just go turn to, Eye on Hollywood or Entertainment Tonight or something, and you read about Britney Spears. She's a very wealthy woman, but does she have a very good reputation? Or a Lindsay Lohan, or, you know, you fill in the blank. It could be some guy, too. I can't think of one right now. But, and you think, those people are warped. And here God says, a gracious woman retains honor. Now, what is graciousness, by the way? What does that mean? Go ahead. Got a guess? Any guesses? Keaton? Well, I'll tell you. I looked it up so we can get a dictionary definition. It defines as pleasantly kind, benevolent. Benevolent is somebody who's generous, willing to give. And courteous, merciful and compassionate. And I would say, why? My, this should be a woman who loves the Lord. Wouldn't you say? Who's compassionate, who's giving, who's concerned about others. A person who's willing to give to the poor. You know, willing to give to others who are in need. That is a gracious woman. And notice in verse 16, a gracious woman retains honor. And I'm sure all of us, especially you ladies, want to be honorable women. You know what the contrary to that, you know, when you're not an honorable person at school and the rumorville starts going around, it's not a happy day, is it? No, it's awful and it's horrible. But God wants you to be honorable, gracious. But notice the contrast of that. A gracious woman retains honor. And as I said in Proverbs, there's a lot of little buts. And these buts means it's a contrast. It's a comparing one thing to another. When I say the word white, you think, what's the opposite of white? Black and blue. Yes. No, black. Black, you know, high, low, you know. Those are the contrasts. And here, a gracious woman retains honor, but a ruthless man retains riches. And, you know, a gracious woman, you know, it's very important that you are adorned, wearing the beauty of Christ than it is to be adorned with the latest fashions. See, God is concerned about your character, not what the way you look like. And, you know, let's face the facts. You know, not every person's going to look like that hunk of a person, whether you're a lady or a man. But what counts and what's important in God's heart is your character. That's your beauty. Because, you know, the thing is about beauty, it fades as you get older. And older and older and older, you know, you're not going to look like you did always when you were a teenager. But the most beautiful thing is your heart. Allow God to create that beauty. That's what's important, is creating the beauty of your heart, of being gracious and compassionate, being kind and benevolent. You know, you've all have heard about those gals. You know, they may be really good looking, but they're, you know, that word, that very descriptive word that no lady likes to be called. You know, her beauty's only skin deep. But we want our beauty, our character, to go down to our very soul. That's what's beautiful. And that's what accounts before God. And if God bless you with physical beauty, you know, don't let that be the only important thing about you. Let it be your character. That's what's important, your character. Not what you look like, or, you know, if you have that, great. But, you know, it's what God thinks about you that's important. Let's look at verse 22. I love this word picture. Now think about it. It's meant to be a shocker. As a ring of gold is in a swine's snout. What, anybody, do you guys know what a swine is? It's a pig. It's a pig. As a gold ring is in a pig's snout or nose. What's wrong with that picture? Ian, you shake your head. What's wrong with that picture? It doesn't go, does it? You don't put a gold ring in a pig's nose. That doesn't make sense, does it? And now let's think of it this way. You're a Jewish person, and a pig is a very unkosher or unclean animal. You're not even supposed to touch a pig. It's like gross. A pig is supposed to be totally gross. And here there's a gold ring in it. There's something way wrong with that picture. Way wrong. And now let's look at the contrast of that. In verse 22. Somebody want to read that to me? Yeah. Bingo. He's saying nobody puts a gold ring in a pig's snout. It's like, it's unclean, it's not right. And as now it says, so is a lovely woman who lacks discretion. And we think, okay, what is discretion? Discretion is judgment, self-control. And, you know, it's just not right. It's kind of like what happened on the MTV Awards, to pick on that poor young lady. What happened on the MTV Awards? It was all over the internet. It was a young woman who lacked discretion. It was Britney Spears dancing in her underwear at the MTV Awards, trying to lip sync, and she couldn't do it, and she made a fool of herself. She lacked discretion. And so, and God wants not just young ladies, not just women, but men also, because we need to have discretion too, is to make good decisions. Make good, godly decisions. You know, I was reading, I saw the Saturday Tribune. I went to go have my oil changed, and on the front page, it showed a picture of this lovely young lady. She was beautiful, beautiful teenage girl, and she's missing, and they fear that she got into the drug culture, is probably into prostitution, and you know, that lifestyle is just, it goes down to the pits. It's horrible. She lacked discretion. She made horrible decisions by doing drugs, by hanging out with the wrong people. You know, that's reality, and God doesn't want you to go that direction. God wants you guys to be blessed, to be the person that He created you to be. And that's having good moral character, having good discretion. Not like that pig that has a ring in its nose, but to be a beautiful young lady, a beautiful in character and spirit. And so that's the gracious young woman. Let's look at the merciful man. Verse 17, the merciful man does good for his own soul, but he who is cruel troubles his own flesh. Have you ever noticed cruel people are always, they're in turmoil. I think cruel people are very tormented people. They abuse other human beings. They abuse animals. They're just very tormented people. And it troubles their own flesh, God says. Be careful what you do with your temper, how you use it. You know, the Bible says we must be self-controlled. And, you know, when I get ticked, sometimes it's hard. You know, God, control me. But we need to be self-controlled. The merciful man. And what does merciful mean, by the way? Well, merciful is a person who is compassionate and kind too, just like gracious. A man who is merciful has kingly qualities. I love that. Kingly qualities. Why does it have kingly qualities? Because to show mercy is to not give somebody what they deserve. Let's say you were driving. You're driving your brand new Corvette down Paseo, and you're doing 80. And I'm the Mr. Policeman, and I go, I put on my siren and I stop you. And what's your name? Pardon me? Mr. Logan, may I see your license? Well, how would I know your name? May I see your license? Oh, Mr. Logan, you were doing 80 miles per hour. And he go, yes, sir, I was speeding. And well, I'm the policeman. I'm the authority. Man, you deserve for me to slap you a $2,000 ticket, huh? Yeah? $100 for speeding and $999 for having a car I like. You deserve that ticket. But a merciful person will say, you were speeding, but I'm not going to give you that ticket. That's mercy. That's a kingly quality, because the person who has the authority also has the authority to withhold judgment. And so a merciful man, you know, most men will grow up to be dads, and dads are the authority in the house. You're going to have to execute mercy upon your kids one day. Not execute them, but but show them mercy. You know, you broke my favorite thing. That's okay, son. Just be careful next time, okay? Or daughter. Grace, you know what graciousness is? Logan is speeding. I stop him, and he deserves that $1,000 ticket. And so I go up to Mr. Logan, and I say, Mr. Logan, you were speeding. Here's your ticket for $1,000. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to pay for it. That's grace. You're getting what you don't deserve. He deserves to pay the ticket. And that's what God does for us. We deserve to go to hell. But God says, no, I'm paying the price through the death of my son. And because you believe in him, I'm giving you eternal life. I'm giving you more than you ever asked. More than you ever bargained for. That is grace. Judgment is, you paid the ticket. And in God's kingdom, justice is that we go to hell. That's true justice. Because the wages of sin is death. But God desires not to give. He wants to give us mercy and grace. God's desire is to give us that. And so as men, we need to learn to be merciful. Why? Because Jesus is merciful. What a better example. I hope all of us here that your hero is the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, to model his character and his behavior, how he treated people. You know, the amazing thing about Jesus is that he could have wiped everybody out if he wanted to, and he didn't. Those who were nailing him on the cross, he could have called thousands, legions of angels and wiped everybody out. He just laid on the cross and allowed them to crucify him. He had all the power, but he submitted to it. And that's what God wants to work in our character, guys. We're powerful, but yet we're to learn to be merciful. That's where true strength comes from. When you can control your spirit, control your temper, you know, Proverbs says it's like a man who can control a city. It's awesome. So, a merciful man is a very confident man. You know, an insecure person is a person who can't control his temper. I think it's because it's, you know, you're attacking my authority and they can't handle it. That's an insecure person. A person who's very confident is very in control. Man, I think of who's a great example? A guy who's always in control in the sports field is Peyton Manning. Peyton Manning's there. I don't know if you guys like football. Sorry for the football analogy. But he's there at the line, and he sees the defense. He doesn't panic. He just changes the call, changes his offense around. He's just so in control. You know, he's a real, you know, has really good leadership qualities. And a confident. Learn to be confident in the Lord, guys. Be confident. That's where your confidence comes. And when you study the Word of God and you allow the Word of God to get in your heart, you're going to make good decisions. You're going to make good choices. You can be confident. And if it messes it up, you still have confidence because you can have confidence that God works all things together for good according to His purpose. And so a merciful man is a confident man. For he knows who he lives and serves, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the merciful man desires to do good for the glory and love of God and to the benefit of others. See, a merciful person doesn't think about themselves. You know what the hardest thing to do in life is quit putting ourselves first. God wants us to be others-centered. To think about others. God does that to us all the time, doesn't he? He's always thinking about you. Always curious, loving on you. And so a merciful person learns to put others first. And so living with integrity, the gracious woman, learning to be kind and generous and loving and good. The merciful man, very similar qualities, being compassionate, self-controlled, putting others first. Let those qualities get into our hearts. And these are gold for us. These are gold. And you know, the beauty about these character qualities is you can be this way no matter what your position in life is. Whether you're the president of the United States in the White House or you're the janitor in the White House, you can exhibit these qualities. These are character things and these are gold. Well, we better hurry up and finish up, huh? Living with generosity. Verse 24. There is one who scatters yet increases more, and there is one who withholds more than is right, but it leads to poverty. Sowing and reaping. There's the greedy person and the generous person. The gracious soul will be made rich, and the waters will also be watered himself. The people curse him who withhold grain, but blessing will be on the head who sells it. He who earnestly seeks good finds favor, but trouble will come to him who seeks evil. He who trusts in his riches will fall, but the righteous will flourish like foliage. He who troubles his own house will inherit the wind, and the fool will be the servant of the wise of heart. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. If the righteous will be recompensed on the earth, how much more the ungodly and the sinner? There was a man by the name of Henry Ford. He was a shrewd businessman. He was the one who started the Ford Motor Company. And he didn't invent the car or anything, but he invented a methodology of building cars. He created the assembly line. And that way he could produce cars faster and cheaper. But Henry Ford was also shrewd in a way, a businessman. He says, you know, if I pay my workers enough money, they can afford to buy my car. Wow. And here it's showing generosity. See, giving to others will lead to a bountiful harvest. When you're giving to the poor, God says you're lending to him. How about that? God wants us to give to the poor, to those who are in need. That's important. Sowing generosity. Your neighbor needs a cup of sugar. Oh, don't bother me. Slam the door. You're not going to borrow a cup of sugar. Be generous. Your brother wants to borrow a buck. Lend the poor guy a buck. And likewise, your sister needs $5. Hand it over. You know, be generous. Don't be greedy misers. And sometimes that's hard to do, huh? Yeah, let's be honest. Sometimes it's like, well, I earned this and it's mine. And you know, we want to hold on to it. And God says, give it away. Give it away. You'll be blessed. Give it away. You'll be blessed. You know, sowing seeds leads to growth, and growth leads to fruit, and winning souls is wise. Sowing out the gospel. Not everybody who hears the gospel is going to receive it. But there may be that one person who said, man, I believe. I believe. Man, that's fruit to your account. That's fruit. Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Because God stores it in heaven for you. You know, things that we have here on earth, it's all going to burn. It's all going to crash. It's all going to rust. You know, you can have a mansion. That thing's going to burn. You may have a little shack. That thing's going to burn. And when you both stand before the Lord, you're going to give account before God. You're on the same level as the guy who lived in the mansion as the guy who lived in the shack. God sees you both the same at the cross of Christ. And God's going to hold us accountable for the things that he's blessed us with. So be givers. Be generous. Do it with a gracious and loving heart. And finally, the encouragement is God's going to repay you in heaven. And you know, and God multiplies weirdly. God multiplies with factors that we can't understand. You know, I love the story in the Old Testament. There was this king, and the prophet told him, hit the stick and God will bless you. Just hit it on the ground. The guy hits it a couple of times. And the prophet says, oy vey, if you would have done it much, much more, God would have blessed you 100 times more. See, God wants to bless you. But our blessings are going to be mostly in heaven. And so let's look forward to that. So let's conclude. Well, pleasing God is dependent upon our honesty towards God. When we come to God, be honest with Him with our sins. If you haven't given your heart to Christ, give it to Him. Be honest, God, I've sinned, but I believe in Jesus, and He'll give you eternal life. What a deal. Death, life. Eternal death, eternal life. See, God multiplies weirdly. And so, give your heart to Christ. Treat our neighbors with integrity, our brothers and sisters in the house, your family, with integrity, with mercy and graciousness. And give to others. Treat others how God treats us. And so, before we pray, just 3 more things, an application. First, I want you to think about how God treats you. When you leave, think about how God treats you. He treats you pretty good. If we offend someone and you are angry, think about when you offend God and does He forgive you? Yeah, so you ought to be forgiving to others. And finally, give and do not expect a return. Don't when you give to somebody, don't expect to get it back. A generous person forgets about it. He lets it go and leaves it in the hand of God. Okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank You. We praise You that You treat us so well. So well. And we thank You for Your generosity and Your mercy and grace towards us. And Lord, help us to transform our characters by being a gracious woman and a merciful man. And Lord, help us to be generous in our living, generous with our time, generous in our giving, just generous people. And by doing so with the faith, knowing that God, we can't repay You back. How can we pay You back? But we can take the cup of salvation and drink from it and take the cup of faith and live it. And that pleases You. And Lord, help us to do that. We pray these things and we ask these things in Jesus' name. And everybody said, God bless you guys. Have a great day.